Me either. Hey, there's me. What's happening? I'll bet we were over the air, though, so what difference does it make?
Okay.
Welcome in. It's The Drive. Nate Goodyear, Katie Christensen with you. Dave is sick.
I like starting that way.
Again, what, just...
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, here we are. Day two, Dave dealing with the fallout of his trip to the boat thing, whatever.
His trip to the boat thing.
Nate and Katie with you until 9 o'clock.
Haiti. I don't know that it's Haiti's fault.
You've spoken with him. He's apparently
a
dying man.
Yeah, I spoke to him a couple times yesterday just to check on him. And spoke to him about 1 o'clock yesterday, still vomiting. Spoke to him last night, I think about, I don't know, 8 or maybe even closer to 9 o'clock. And he's like, I'm still not feeling all that well. Mm. I'm like, well, I don't want your pukiness at work. So
he's probably not contagious. He should be here.
Ooh.
I don't know.
You don't think vomiting is contagious?
He's not vomiting on me, is he? Who knows? I mean, he's probably got food poisoning or something like that. Whatever. He's not here. And if you could just, you out there, listener, if you do me a favor this morning, you know the text line number at 441140. Make sure you harass Katie because she's going to be the only one that's reading that today.
I hate you.
And with Dave not here for 2 straight days, we know that you have lots and lots of questions for Katie. And make sure that you hit her up on Twitter too, at Katie_C. Harass this poor woman as much as you can. Ask her all of the questions you want. Because she has 3 hours to kill here this morning.
3 hours to kill.
3 hours to kill. We're going to be speaking with Lon Kruger. If you've heard of him, or if you think you know that name, it's because you probably do. He is the head basketball coach at the University of Oklahoma. And why is that important? Because that's where Buddy Hield went to college.
Yes, sir.
So we'll be speaking with Lon Kruger at 7:35. That's going to be fun. And then Sam Amick at 8:05. He was supposed to be on. He was going to be on yesterday, but then he wasn't on yesterday. So now he's going to be joining us at 8:05.
You're so funny.
I don't need to be funny. I'm just saying, like, we get Sam. He gets bumped up now into the.
I begged for a national guy last night on our little message.
Let me tell you something. There is nobody more national than Samuel Amick.
I know.
So we've
got
the best.
He's going to help us get into all this trade deadline stuff. Here's
and
the reality.
And he's our KHTK NBA insider.
The trade deadline is now less than 6 hours away.
It is. And that's important.
Oh, my God.
And we're going to talk about that plenty because there have already been moves. You don't. I mean, could you say that the DeMarcus trade kind of opened the floodgates a little bit?
Yeah.
Or was that just kind of bound to happen anyway?
I think. That's everyone's indication or thoughts on it is that, you know, that's kind of the blockbuster deal that's happened so far. There's been plenty of moves, but now there's a couple names that are still floating around. And Jimmy Butler is one and Paul George is the other. And from everything that I've gathered from, you know, reading just everything under the sun last night, if a deal happens with those two included, it's likely to come in the final moments before the deadline.
Yeah.
So this is going to be pretty, pretty exciting.
And again, the Celtics are right in the middle of it, too, because they've got tons of assets. And they always appear to be one step away anyway. And I think, you know, Danny Ainge is a good GM. But, man, it's amazing how, you know, he swings a deal several years ago, basically, picks up Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett in one offseason, and now, I mean, he's just invincible. It's just every trade deadline and every offseason, it's people are expecting Danny Ainge to trade for not LeBron James, but everyone in that tier below that.
So what's so funny about it, Scott Pollard was on Gio and Jones before our show earlier, I don't know, maybe an hour or so ago, and talking about kind of the whole, they were asking about the Magic Johnson thing. And he's like, look, he's like, I just don't think that superstar players are ever going to make good general managers. He's like, it's the Danny Ainges of the world. And he's like, not to take away from Danny Ainge's career.
Better watch out. They're going to take him off the air.
He has a reputation right now, you know, Danny Ainge. And a lot of that stems from that deal of sending his, you know, Jason Terry, Kevin Garnett, and Paul Pierce to Brooklyn. And they're still reaping the benefits of that. They have so much power now at this trade deadline because of that deal that was made 4 years ago.
Oh, well, and, you know, Brooklyn, too. I mean, they played a pretty big role in that. Here's first off, Danny Ainge, we do forget about him when we talk about like Larry Bird and Magic Johnson going into it. But you know, he's not also an all-time great player.
Yeah.
Danny Ainge fits the profile of the dude that would move into the front office and have success.
Yeah.
What I will say, I mean, hopefully Magic gives us lots of opportunities to roast him for whatever limited amount of time he's in charge of the Lakers. Maybe it'll be a really long time and we'll be able to roast him the whole time. I don't know. I've already taken my shots. But
yeah,
my
friend of the show, Jason Jones, also, you know, covers the Kings for the Sac B, was not happy with you yesterday on Twitter.
Hey, Jason gets it, man. I gotta throw shiny stuff up in the air to distract me from the Kings' dysfunction.
He's like, stop talking about my boy Magic.
I'll give Magic credit for this. He stepped in and immediately made a deal that acquired a first-round draft pick.
Yep.
For Lou Williams.
Yeah.
You're telling me there's not a Lou Williams on the Kings roster? I mean, maybe not. Like, listen, I know Lou Williams can fill it up, okay? But veteran backup point guards that can score are a dime a dozen.
Right.
Guys like Lou Williams are a dime a dozen in this league. And you turn around and you get a first-round pick for him.
What's so crazy about right now as we start the show is
he's been on the job for a week.
I know.
I wonder if he had a better deal and passed it up even. Like, maybe he could have gotten more than a first-rounder.
What's so crazy, you're just prime snarky self this morning. Like, you obviously woke up on the right side of the bed. You've got everything. You actually look nice
today. Actually feeling better than I've felt in a long time.
But the crazy thing to me about that whole thing with the Lakers and with Houston is that you look at it and it's like, okay, we know what's going on with them, right? But how it relates to the Kings situation, there's 6 hours until the trade deadline. I'm already, you know, last night thinking, prepping for what am I going to talk about with the Kings game tomorrow night on the sidelines. I'm like, I can't do any work until after 12 o'clock today.
Yeah.
I don't even know what this team is going to look like. People, you know, tweeting
might
like,
just
what,
be a waste
what's,
of time.
What's our starting lineup going to look like tomorrow? I've got no idea what the roster looks like tomorrow, so I can't tell you right now.
Maybe
there's no changes, but there's no way of telling at this point.
Right. Or how many people are going to be on the roster.
Yeah.
Any of that. It's getting... Excuse me. What the heck, man? You finally... You bring me some Prilosec yet?
We need to start talking with the sales department about getting you some kind of a deal with them.
Why they haven't taken care of that yet.
Legitimately endorse that.
Hey, I just want to point out, too, it's getting to be a really fun time of year, Katie. It's getting to be that time where we can start caring about college basketball.
Yeah.
Every morning... I mentioned this to you already, but... There's part of me, I don't follow a ton of college basketball, right? I mean, it's just, you see what's on TV and you kind of have an idea of who the top teams are. And you always have an eye on who the big prospects are supposed to be, like the one and done type of guys, right? You'll hear names. About this time of year, names start sinking.
Oh, yeah.
And repeat players from last year. And when I come in and I look at this audio every morning, and I get a little bit bummed out because even though I don't follow, like I said, I wish that there was more of an appetite for it for college basketball right now because all of the awesome things are starting to happen. Like, we're starting to get buzzer beaters. We're starting to get young players that are hot prospects, like, really start to come into their own. I mean, there's some guys like Lonzo Ball we've been talking about all year long. But then there are other dudes, guys that have been around a while maybe that you forget about. Like, for example, Dylan Brooks of Oregon burying Cal last night down in Berkeley. That was like 0.2. I know, with like 0.2 seconds left. Also, Duke got flushed last night by a Syracuse buzzer beater.
That's always a good thing in my book.
Well, yeah, I'm stealing the Deadspin headline, but put them right in the toilet where they belong. Here's the, let's see, where's the, what do we got here? Oh, that's so funny. Here we go. An assassin. John Gillian with the big shot. Here's the deal, though. Not only is the radio crew calling him an assassin, he knows the deal. John Gillian's a big-time dude. He knows it. John Gillian, the Dion Waiters of college basketball. And this is not just an important time of year for us as fans, Katie, to get to watch some good basketball. We get to know which guys are going to be coveted by the Kings next year. Like, probably John Gillian, if he's hitting shots like that.
Yeah, well,
John Gillian,
the Kings,
Dylan
and
Brooks.
Several other teams around the league. So
now, give me the dude that performs in the tournament that's hitting buzzer beaters and stuff like that. I'm a captain of the narrative here. We've got the Morning Brew upcoming. Your new Sacramento Kings were introduced yesterday, and everyone's a fan. Maybe we can get to the point now where it is about Buddy Hield.
Yes.
And Tyreke Evans, Langston Galloway, all of that. It's the Morning Brew when we come back on The Drive right away, Sports 1140 KHTK. That is the newest Sacramento King, Buddy Hield, and talking about the Kings owner, Buffalo Bill, apparently. What?
What?
They were going to, I'm going to get you, buddy.
Hey, buddy, I'm going to get you, buddy.
Anyway, Buddy Hield has always felt wanted by Sacramento, including in the two games that he played here as a member of the Pelicans, because that's what Vivek said to him courtside.
Yeah.
Apparently, according to Buddy Hield. Is that legal? Is that tampering or something?
This is not the NCAA. This is the new era. We're going to see Buddy Hield as a king tonight for the first time. I don't really know what to expect at this point. Obviously, there was plenty of other scoring options on the Pelicans. I don't even know what our scoring options are for the Kings right now, but
Buddy
I know
Hield.
That he is going to be included in that. So we'll see tonight. And like we said earlier, you know, with a little less than 6 hours before the trade deadline, there could still be moves made. And Darren Collison's name has been mentioned, Ben McLemore, as well as Aaron Aflalo. Obviously, Ben and Aaron are shooting guards, which were pretty heavy at that position right now. But Vlade, according to Darren Collison yesterday, talking to Sean Cunningham of ABC 10, Vlade talked to Darren and said that he's not going anywhere.
Well,
so we'll see.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
well, we've seen how that turns out in the past.
I really don't know what's going to happen at this point. And from every, you know, we've been following all the rumors. And even though we've heard that those guys are on the trading block, I haven't heard their names in any rumors whatsoever. So there's a possibility that there will be no changes made on the Kings roster in the coming hours.
If they could maybe, though, just build a balanced roster at some point. Like, somehow in the matter of 2 years, we've gone from having a total logjam at power forward and center
and now
just being
guard.
Overloaded with. And, man, shooting guard has got to be the worst place to have that problem, because we've just paraded through so many mediocre to bad shooting guards over the last decade.
And I think that's the thing, is that they're trying to hit on one, and we'll see what happens with this.
Numbers game, man. It's like being a pickup artist.
In terms of building a balanced roster, I think when you make the decision that the Kings have made going forward, which is to kind of blow things up and rebuild, I don't think that
you just end up with a bunch of dudes.
I just don't think that saying a balanced roster right now, after making that blockbuster trade and sending DeMarcus to New Orleans, I don't know that being able to build a balanced roster is a possibility with the next 25 games. However, I will say this: Dave Joerger, even though a lot of people questioning whether or not he can build the young guys and this and that and play him, well, he doesn't have an option, so that's going to happen. Yeah. I have complete faith that he can do it based on his past coaching experience prior to coming into the NBA. That's what a lot of people judge his ability on, but he won in both the CBA and the D-League, so he's got a little experience with young guys. But he even said the other day, hey, we could be playing Ben McLemore and Aaron Aflalo at the four. So
Yay. Small
ball, you wanted to see small ball? You're going to see small ball.
Here it comes, 7:30 tip-off tonight against the Nuggets.
That's DeMarcus Cousins yesterday in his introductory press conference in New Orleans, talking about how excited he is to play next to Anthony Davis. And for a league that's going towards small ball, it's pretty interesting to see Dell Demps and the Pelicans decide that, hey, we're going to go with two of the best bigs in the game right now and see how this plays out.
Yeah, on paper, I'm not sure that this works, but you can't not add that kind of talent and see what you can make out of it.
Well, my goodness, between the two of them, it's over 50 points and 20 boards.
Right, and we always said that in order for DeMarcus to succeed, he's probably going to have a better player next to him. But we always thought that would have to be a guy with a stronger, someone that not only could lead by example, but also had a strong enough personality to rein him in.
Well,
Anthony Davis only fits half that profile to me. This is going to be interesting.
Yeah, he's never played with anyone that has the same type of scoring ability that he has. Like, it's going to be crazy to me to see how this plays out with them on who's going to be top dog in that situation. Because you can't have two.
Come on.
Can't have two.
This is this is just like a Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant situation. Like, even if the better player is Anthony Davis, he's the quiet one. He's not going to win. That's the way I see this shaking.
We'll see.
Anthony Davis is not suddenly going to turn into some fiery leader and butt heads with DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, but I don't
think
he's ever had a personality on a team to have to deal with it. So
no, that's
So who's to say? Maybe there's a side of the brow that we don't know.
Maybe there's a side of DeMarcus we don't know.
Maybe he's going to get so upset that brow in the middle is going to start to separate. That's when you know something's wrong.
His eyes are just drifting further and further apart. Okay, Brooklyn Nets Radio Network. Trade deadline things. We know that it's coming up here in just about 5.5 hours. But there's been some moves other than DeMarcus. The 76ers, I should say, traded for another center, although he's not going to see any time. But Bojan Bogdanović headed to the Wizards for Marcus Thornton and Andrew Nicholson, stuff like that. Ersan Ilyasova is headed to the Hawks from the 76ers. There are too many Bogdanoviches. And just because I can't keep them straight, and just to make a note here, remember when Marcus Thornton was little buckets? Remember when he was good and really,
he's been involved ever since he left here. He's been involved in multiple trade after trade.
Which, let's be honest, you look at their record when he was here, he was probably trade fodder when he was here too.
Yeah, but he was another one of those. And this is the thing about
if you're Magic Johnson, you could turn around and flip him for a first round pick.
This is the thing about college guys, right? It's one thing to be a great shooter in college. It's another thing to make that transition to the NBA and stick. Uh-huh. Marcus Thornton hasn't been able to stick.
Okay, well, Marcus, hey, he was fun, though. You remember?
Huh?
Marcus?
Was he?
He was fun. He got buckets. Uh-huh. I mean, he did. He was averaging a little over 20 a game.
And there was no consistency to it, if I remember correctly.
No, it was him and Tyreke Evans and DeMarcus. And they beat the Heat one time when LeBron was on that team, and he tweeted out, like, oh, they've got some good young talent. And everyone was really excited. And then
someone burned you, though.
Yeah, well, somehow or another, all of those guys managed to disappear. Mm. But one of them's back.
It's Tyreke
Evans.
We'll see what he's able to do.
All the boys making their debut tonight at Golden 1 Center, 7:30 tip-off on KHTK against the Nuggets. And if you want to hear more about the Nuggets, at 5:30 today, Scott Hastings, he's the play-by-play man for the Nuggets. He's a former NBA guy. He's a big dude.
He's a
tall, large American human. And he's going to be joining Grant Napier at 5:30. We're going to have Lon Kruger. That's the college coach of Buddy Hield. He'll be joining us at 7:35. He's running things over at University of Oklahoma, but I think it's Oklahoma University. OU. And then Darren Collison joining us at 8:10, unless
Sam
he gets
Amick
traded.
As well today. We're just loaded. He's not going to be traded.
Or no, yeah, I'm sorry. Darren Collison's at 8:30 and Sam Amick's at 8:10.
Yes.
That's all.
Lots of trade stuff to get into. This is like maybe the most exciting day in the NBA, and I feel kind of bad about it because I know as a player.
Well, for us anyway.
Yeah, I know as a player, it's the worst day. Because these are human beings with families, and it really sucks to hear your name. And even sometimes you don't hear your name in trade rumors, and you're shipped out. So we'll see.
You never know where it's coming, so we'll break that down. Who's got the most assets and what they're going to do with them in 4 minutes on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHTK. Back with you on The Drive, 6:34. Nate Goodyear, Katie Christensen with you. Dave still dealing with the after effects of a vacation and then an extended run here covering the DeMarcus Cousins trade. I guess he's got it come out both ends or something like that. I don't know. Katie's spoken with him and has confirmed.
And I have no confirmation of which. I know
he's
of,
sick, though.
I know of vomiting.
You say he's sick.
Our relationship is close, but it's not that close.
Okay, well, I'm just making assumptions here. Anyway, we got you up until 9 o'clock, so buckle up, partner. Lon Kruger, the head basketball coach at Oklahoma, is going to be joining us an hour from now. He, of course,
and why is that important?
Oh, that's because Buddy Hield was a guy that he coached.
Right.
And that dude plays for the Kings now. So we'll speak with Lon Kruger. Sam Amick at 8:05, Samuel of the Amick clan, is going to be joining us. He'll talk a little NBA as we approach the trade deadline 5.5 hours from now. And Darren Collison, 8:35, barring a move. You're convinced he's not going to be traded, though, so.
We'll see. I mean,
I know you don't want to commit to it. Like, when I make you actually commit to it, you buckle.
In terms of Collison being traded?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
Are you okay? What are you looking at out there? Did something walk by
I'm
the window? Did you see
thoughts.
A ghost?
No, I'm looking for my thoughts.
Okay.
And they're just dancing around.
I guess.
Me. I've been wearing my glasses the last few days so I can make better sense of things.
You looked like you short-circuited for a second.
Well, obviously we have read, right? We have read that Darren Collison is on the trade block,
uh-huh.
which makes sense with his expiring contract and
everyone, I think, is wondering if the Kings are going to go in the tank for the rest
of
the season.
Right, and he could be of value for a playoff contending team. He's a veteran.
You get a first-round pick for Lou Williams.
So there's that fact. But then you factor in, that Vlade had come out and told him directly, you're not going to be traded. And then he turns around and says that to the media. But
does that mean anything?
But here's the thing, and people want to say, well, does it mean anything if Vlade says you're not going to be traded because he said DeMarcus wasn't going to be traded? This is the thing about saying things like that. You never know what offer is going to come to the table.
So why say it?
I know. I mean, I guess that's the conversation. But the point is that, he said he's not going to be traded. So we're going to see here very, very soon because the trade deadline is coming up at 12 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. So we'll see if that is actually the case.
Not
to mention the fact that we haven't heard Darren's name in any trade rumors. We haven't heard Ben McLemore or Aaron Aflalo either, yet we all know that those three players are technically on the trading block.
Now, in the past, that wouldn't necessarily mean anything because, usually the rumors are the ones that don't happen. But with this administration, I think it's safe to say if you're not hearing about it, it's probably not happening.
Yeah.
This is not some sort of clandestine. Camera.
Is that one of those things you take the photos of?
Photographia. So anyway, this is not some sort of super secretive operation where they're going to pull a rabbit out of a hat and there's going to be some magic deal. We're going to catch wind of it beforehand. So maybe you're right. I don't know. But the point is, if there is a deal that goes down involving Darren Collison, it is likely that he will not join us at 8:35. As it is right now, put that on your little schedule and your little, what are those, moleskin things?
Most people put it in their phone, Nate.
Whatever.
And then they set an alert.
Hey,
welcome to 2017.
Put the pen to paper. Let's make some stuff happen here. So as far as other teams are concerned, the Celtics have probably the most valuable trade asset in the league.
Oh, yeah.
The right to swap picks with Brooklyn.
Yes, and why this is important, we talked about it a little bit earlier, is when Danny Ainge made that move and sent Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Jason Terry to Brooklyn when their new owner took over and was trying to buy a title immediately.
It's not how it
they
works in this league.
They got so much stuff in that deal. And one of those, let me tell you what Boston has in their pocket right now. They have the Nets 2018 first round selection outright. There's no protections on that. They also have Memphis's first round pick in 2018, both of their own first round picks in 2018. And by the way, as I'm saying this, just keep in mind that this year's draft is the one, the 2017 draft is the one that really, really, really is supposed to be very heavy and loaded with talent.
Yeah.
So Boston, this is where it gets interesting. Boston can swap their first round picks this year that they got from that trade with the Nets, who are currently 9-47 and projected to get the first round pick. They have the rights to swap picks with Boston. There's no protection on that. So we're talking about a team that is knocking down the doors right now of the number one Cavaliers in the East. I think they're at this point two or three games back. I think it's three games back. And not only are they loaded with talent, but they could potentially have the first round pick this year in the draft. So that is a huge bargaining chip for them right now as the trade deadline approaches, because if they want to win now and have the opportunity, they feel that a Jimmy Butler has the ability to do that. They are unwilling, though, to give up Jay Crowder, and that seems to be what the holdout is in this whole deal.
Why? I don't really get that. Okay, first off, just on the picks, I don't know what next year's draft class is supposed to look like.
In 2017 or 18?
The 2018 draft class, because I know this year's class is loaded. There haven't really been many returns on the 2018 class yet, but it's not like Brooklyn is going to turn it around by next year.
Yeah.
That's also going to be a good pick. And Dallas really, they're probably not going to be looking real sharp next season either. So the Celtics are loaded. But if you like just a straight up trade, Jimmy Butler for Jay Crowder, why would the Celtics say no to that? You're getting the same dude that's a better offensive player.
Yeah, this is the reason why, because Jay Crowder is their starting forward, right? The reason why he's so valuable to them, they have plenty of scoring options on that team. Jay Crowder is an important piece in Danny Ainge's mind, and Danny Ainge is not wrong in this, because Jay Crowder is a defensive stopper. Mm-hmm. And when you're a Boston and you know that you have to face Cleveland and they're the team that would likely prevent you from going to the NBA Finals, you need a player like Jay Crowder to match up against LeBron James. And so many teams, Nate, focus on offense and what teams can get them. And now,
sure, but Jimmy
Butler's a great defender as well, but not as good as Jay Crowder. So they feel that Jay Crowder is the key to them being able to have a chance to stop LeBron James and the Cavaliers. And
I still do that move. I think he figured it out, but.
Well, and David Aldridge is reporting that, you know, a lot of people were thinking that Boston, that pick, that Nets pick that Boston has this year, they're thinking that this still wasn't happening because of that. No, it's not happening right now, and there hasn't been movement on it because of their unwillingness to give up Jay Crowder.
You would think that having that many picks in the 2018 draft, if you're Boston, I mean, if you can get away with just giving up that Nets pick for Jimmy Butler.
Do you think Jimmy Butler is worth Jay Crowder and a potential number one pick?
No, not
in
both
this draft?
Of them.
Well, there you go.
No, but that's what they want. The Bulls could use the pick, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, the Bulls are in a world of hurt right now. It's not getting better for them. So that's another thing. They face the possibility of not being able to, you know, Dwayne Wade could opt out of his contract at the end of this season. And this is where a lot of this, this is where a lot of things stem from, too, is that the reason that Dwayne Wade went to Chicago is because of Jimmy Butler. And he's been very open about the fact, like, hey, I came here to play with him, and if he's gone, I'm not renewing my contract. However, at his age, he's an idiot to opt out of that contract. I know, right?
There were a lot of trades that actually did happen yesterday. There were several, including, according to one source, the best 76er since Allen Iverson. We'll tell you who it was and why he's on the move. We'll be right back on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK. Katie, who does this song? Who is the artist here?
Is it Chance the Rapper? No, I don't know.
Wrong!
Wrong!
I don't know who it is.
Why you ask me these things?
Well, I figured you know better than I do.
Usually, I get out my little phone and the little Shazam app if there's a song that I really want. I don't know who it is.
Where was your stupid Shazam app now?
Well, I can't put it in my headphones.
Whatever.
Oh,
turn my mic off.
Logic doesn't work for you, right?
No, it just doesn't matter.
It just doesn't.
And so Kevin Gates.
Okay, Kevin Gates.
Not anywhere on our list.
Uh-oh.
Nate Goodyear, Katie Christensen with you right up until 9 o'clock. Dave still not feeling well after his bout with a Haitian cruise liner or something along those lines anyway. So he'll hopefully be back tomorrow. We're going to be joined by Lon Kruger, a head basketball coach at Oklahoma. He had Buddy Hield when he was there just last year. That's at 7:35. Darren Collison set to join us at 8:35. And Sam Amick. 8:10, so busy NBA/basketball type of day. We do have some other stuff we're going to get to later on, including Colin Kaepernick meeting with John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. We'll tell you what that was all about and why both sides walked away feeling pretty good about things. But the NBA trade deadline is afoot.
Well, it's not a foot.
It's not even really
it's not
a
even
tangible
a limb.
Thing.
Yeah. There
but
is a timeline
here.
For it.
Uh-huh.
It's coming up at noon.
Noon o'clock Pacific time.
At 12:01, it's over.
The Kings, of course, already made their big deal. They do have other guys that they're saying are on the block, but we'll see where that takes us. But the 76ers have gotten busy. And Ersan Ilyasova was one of their most productive players this year.
Oh, he's having a career year.
Yeah, if not, like, consistently their most productive.
Yeah.
And that's That's not what the 76ers want. That's bad if you're the 76ers. Their objective is to lose, apparently, still,
well,
because Ben Simmons is out for this season.
And Joel Embiid has been injured.
Yeah, he,
again.
My guess is he's not going to see a ton more time this season.
Why would you?
Right.
Why would you?
There's no point. Have him back on the floor with Ben Simmons next year. So there's no reason. Plus, they're going to get the Kings pick this year.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're going
to
be.
Well, they acquired Tiago Splitter, who, by the way, just to point out,
he's probably not going to play.
Hasn't played in a game since January 31st, 2016.
Yeah.
Like over a year.
Right.
He hasn't played in a game.
So he's not going to see the floor for them.
But
he's not.
Why this works for both teams in a way is obviously Philly is getting rid of people that are helping them potentially win games, which is crazy because they've never had this issue in the last 3 years.
Right.
Someone helping them win games. It just hasn't happened. But, excuse me, both players are in the final year of their deal. So that this is kind of what you see at the trade deadline with a lot of teams. It's guys that are in the final year of their deal that are great targets to move.
Well, and the Hawks have needed they've needed 3-point support ever since getting rid of Kyle Korver.
Yeah.
That's basically what they're doing here. It's amazing to me how with the way that the salary cap has exploded and the way that salaries are still kind of adjusting to that,
right.
It's going to be a couple of years before teams are really loaded down with contracts that have them on the edge of things. You know, unless say for your like Cleveland's and stuff like that.
Right.
But it's amazing to me how just 5-6 years ago, almost the other than having a star player, the most valuable thing you could acquire in a trade was a big expiring deal.
Yes.
You know, you would have these guys that were garbage players but would be on the last year of a $15 million deal. That was like gold. They had huge trade value. And now, just because of the
Same way because of the salary cap changing.
Yeah, it doesn't even matter. You know, $10 million off the books, that doesn't matter
anymore.
Now
what a lot of teams want in there, they want picks.
Uh-huh.
That's what they want. They want picks, and there's been a number of
teams.
They
want picks, and they want guys that are secure before their salary shoots through the roof.
Yep.
So it's interesting the way that's worked out.
The Hawks are a team that very much is in the hunt for things, and after that Kyle Korver deal, a lot of people thought, oh, well, they're tanking. They've been fantastic. And so for them getting
that probably even caught them by surprise.
I don't know if it did. I don't know if it did catch them by surprise because Kyle Korver, coming off of recovering from an injury, he kind of had gone on the decline a little bit since his All-Star appearance when they came out and just shocked the league a couple years ago and just dominated things. And so when you look at his injuries, you look at his age and his contract, they weren't getting a whole lot of production from him anyway. What was it, like 13 points a game or something at that point? What this did is it opened things up for Paul Millsap, who is having a freaking career year at his age.
Well, yeah, but remember, there was right when they moved Korver, the talk was they're going to move Millsap too and break the whole thing down because, and this is one of my favorite little nuggets about the Hawks, the Spurs have the longest current streak of making the playoffs.
Right.
The Hawks are number two. They've been in the playoffs for 9 straight years.
Exactly.
It's so easy to forget that because they're always like a 4 seed or something like that.
Well, and they're always kind of counted out too. You know, even when they had that season where they just were dominating,
No one cared. They didn't have LeBron James.
So they're at 32
2 months ago,
at the fifth in the East right now.
Yeah, and 2 months ago, a month ago, they were an inch away from a total rebuild.
Right, exactly. Well, that's what everyone thought. Now, the interesting thing to me is how well the Wizards have been playing. You know, there was a point there where they had like 13 or 14 straight home wins, and they climbed up the standings. They're currently third. They're 34-21. They have been very active at the trade deadline. They made a couple moves yesterday as well. They got
9-10 going into the break, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. Playing extremely well. And that whole thing with John Wall and Bradley Beal, oh, they don't get along, like that has kind of been squashed at this point. And that was a big thing of like why they wouldn't be able to compete, because there was this story that their two superstars were butting heads. Obviously,
isn't it crazy how winning a bunch of games tends to cover
everything.
Those things up?
But they acquire Bogdanovich and McCullough from
the Nets.
From the Nets. They sent Andrew Nicholson, who I don't even know who that was. So that
he's a dude.
Yeah, it's someone on that's sitting on their bench. And Marcus Thornton plus a 2017 lottery protected first round pick to the Nets. So the Nets get several pieces. But this is interesting because they're trying to shore up their bench. And they're not done. They're very interested in Sabaj Mohammed from the Timberwolves.
Uh-huh.
But what I thought was really interesting in this whole thing is that John Wall, and this speaks to, and maybe I'm old school in this way, which generally that we leave that to Dave to be kind of the old curmudgeon-y person. But I spoke yesterday and kind of went off on LeBron James, you know, trolling his general manager and his team about not making the moves to make them better. He's like, they're not better than we were last year when we won the title. And if our goal is to win another title, then they need to make some changes. Well, John Wall came out and said, you know, straight up said, hey, we're doing things to improve our bench. It's like, why are you talking about what? Leave that to the general manager to say what you guys are doing. And as a teammate, someone that played, and I'm sure
what's he supposed to say? They're doing something to improve our bench.
Don't say anything at all about trade. Like, it's trade rumors.
What if he's asked about it?
The standard comment. You know what? Our front office is working to improve our team. Period. Like, that's what you expect. You don't say, hey, you don't call out your bench and be like, you know, the guys sitting down on the end of the bench, they're not good enough for us to be able to make a run. So we are trying to improve our...
That's not what he said.
Yes, to me,
come
it's
on.
Like, shut up.
Like,
if the guy
replaces the word bench with depth, like, it completely changes that. He used one wrong word.
Oh,
give him a break, Katie.
It's not even about the word. He shouldn't say anything.
Scott Brooks was asked, because there's been some rumors that the Clippers want to acquire Otto Porter. Scott Brooks was asked about that. He said, no. We're not trading Otto Porter. Yeah. Sorry, guys. Try again. 1 hour in the books. Nate Goodyear, Katie Christensen. We got full interviews in 2 hours. There are 2 hours left in the show, and we have a bunch of interviews for you. Lon Kruger, Sam Amick, Darren Collison, all on the guest list. Colin Kaepernick met with John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. And plus, we've got sound from Buddy Hield and Dave Yeager to start the next hour. This is The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK.